God bless you. We hope that this message has encouraged your heart. We invite you to come worship with us at our Sunday school service beginning at 9 a.m., our morning worship service at 11 a.m., Bible study every Wednesday night from 7 to 8. If you would like to correspond with this ministry, you can write us at 2627 Willow Glen Road, Alexandria, Louisiana. Again, thank you, and may God bless you.
It's gonna be all right.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel transmitting all day.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are here today to call on the highest power of the universe to bring peace and prosperity upon his people. The God that we serve is a deliverer and a strong tower. He is a God of stability, a God of substance, a God of authority, and a God who can solve all of our issues. So today, establish your people with deliverance. Deliverance from the unemployment line. Deliverance from food stamps and welfare. Deliverance from the inner city housing and project living. Deliverance from drug addiction. Deliverance from social injustice. Deliverance from drive-by shootings. Deliverance from illiteracy and homelessness. Deliverance from racism and bigotry. Deliverance from hatred and violence. Deliverance from the doom of demonism. Deliverance from sin and seduction. Deliverance from helplessness and despair. Authenticate us with the principles of your power so that we can dwell in your power today.
You say you really need it. You can have it today. Right now.
You can have deliverance.
Right now. If you're sick,
you can have deliverance.
If you gotta have it,
right now,
you can have deliverance.
So you say you want deliverance.
You can have it.
You say you need deliverance.
If you need it,
you
excited to introduce to you Deliverance Today Ministries. Our world is full of trouble, and we have reached a point where it is time to bring to the people of God the truth of God. We are headquartered in Shreveport, Louisiana, and are connected to churches worldwide. Each week, we desire to come into your life with a message of deliverance that will prepare you for heaven. We invite you to join our prayer line and zoom into a closer walk with God every morning from 6 to 7 a.m. Central Standard Time. We have health professionals, spiritual counselors, and Christian aid workers in Louisiana and Texas, and we'll also extend our resources to help you with social, spiritual, financial, and mental needs wherever you are.
Back.
He'll heal your
heart.
continue our message today, Prison Walls, the Opposition. We must anticipate that the haters of God will fight against the truth of God. It was the high priest who threw Peter into prison, but God is a deliverer, and we must prepare for opposition from the inside of the church. Johnny Fulton was run over by a car at the age of 3. He suffered crushed hips, broken ribs, a fractured skull, and compound fractures in his legs. It did not look as if he would live, but he would not give up. In fact, he later ran half a mile in less than 2 minutes. Walt Davis was totally paralyzed by polio when he was 9 years old, but he did not give up. He became the Olympic high jump champion in 1952. Shelley Mann was paralyzed by polio when she was 5 years old, but she would not give up. She eventually claimed 8 different swimming records for the U.S. and won a gold medal at the 1956 Olympics in Melbourne, Australia. In 1938, Karoly Tokics, a member of Hungary's world champion pistol shooting team and sergeant in the army, lost his right hand when a grenade he was holding exploded. But Tokics did not give up. He learned to shoot left-handed and won gold medals in the 1948 and 1952 Olympics. Lou Gehrig was such a clumsy ball player that the boys in his neighborhood would not let him play on their team. But he was committed. He did not give up. Eventually, his name was entered into baseball's Hall of Fame. Woodrow Wilson could not read until he was 10 years old, but he was a committed person. He became the 28th president of the United States. Track star Wilma Rudolph won 3 gold medals in the 1960 Olympics, but to get there, she had to overcome enormous hurdles. Stricken with scarlet fever at the age of 4, she lost the use of her left leg and had to learn to walk again when she was 7. You see, when you understand that there are people in opposition and situations that are in opposition of us, you will know that as long as God before us, who can be against us? For you see, Peter not only had the first jail experience of Herod trying to kill him, but there was a second jail experience. The day of Peter's execution was at last appointed, but still the prayers of believers ascended to heaven. And while all their enemies and sympathies were called out in fervent appeals for help, angels of God were guarding the imprisoned apostle. In the prison, Peter was placed between 2 soldiers and was bound by 2 chains, each chain being fastened to the wrist of one of the guards. He was therefore unable to move. Without their knowledge, the prison doors were shut securely and fastened, and a strong guard was placed before them. All chance of rescue or escape by human means was thus cut off. But man's extremity is God's opportunity. The apostle was not intimidated by the situation. Since his reinstatement after his denial of Christ, he had unflinchingly braved danger and had shown a noble courage and boldness in preaching a crucified, risen, and ascended Savior. As he lay in his cell, he called to mind the words that Christ had spoken to him. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whether thou wouldest, but when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thine hand, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. Peter believed that the time had come for him to yield up his life for Christ's sake. The night before, the day set for the execution, Peter, bound with chains, slept as usual between 2 soldiers. You see, you can rest in the truth of God, knowing the power of God. Peter, on this night, was sleeping, remembering Peter's former escape from prison. Herod, on this occasion, took double precautions. In order to secure extra vigilance, the soldiers on the guard were made answerable for safekeeping of the prisoner. Peter was confined in a rock-hewn cell, the doors of which were strongly bolted and barred. But the bolts and the bars and the Roman guard, which effectually cut off from the prisoner all possibility of human aid, were but to make a more complete triumph of God in the deliverance of Peter. Because you see, man tried to hold on, but God still has power over man. Herod was lifting his hand against omnipotence, but he was to be utterly humiliated and defeated in his attempt upon the life of God's servant. For the escape from our opposition will not be executed by human hands, but rather by divine power. The success of the Christian cause had the effect which might have been anticipated. It aroused the intense hostility of the enemies of the Lord, and their bitter opposition found vent in a speedy arrest and imprisonment of the apostles. But man's adversity was God's opportunity, and we must know that God is going to take control. How vain all of the bolts and bars to shut out those whom God would have to enter, to shut in those whom he would have to escape. No doors can shut God out. The hour had come for God's interposing hand, and all the contrivances of man's wrath were broken through. We often wish for the direct intervention of God, but in this case, without God's help, Peter would not be saved. Today, we often ask for God to intervene, and we often wonder what when it does come and how will it come. We question God, thinking that the hour for divine manifestation must have arrived and that God must come to our aid. The duty and the wisdom of true piety are just that. We must, number one, ask God to deliver in his own time and in his own way. We must expect his delivering hand at some time and in some way. We must wait in patient endurance till his time has come. We must recognize his gracious hand in whatever ways he may be pleased to act. For you see, God gave instructions: go, stand, and speak. All the words of this life, we were just told to go, stand up, and speak the truth. Doubtless, the apostles well understood what was the purpose of their commission. They were to speak all the words that God had given them, which would enlighten their fellow citizens on the great subject of the new spiritual life which they had begun to live. They who stand now in the relation of religious teachers to men of their own time must take these words of the heavenly messenger as a divine instruction to themselves. We are to speak all the words of this life. We must explain and enforce the truth that beneath and beyond the life which is material and temporal is the life which is spiritual and eternal. We must make known the conditions on which life is to be entered upon repentance toward God and faith in a crucified and risen Savior. We must make clear the way by which that life is to be sustained by abiding in God. We must assure all disciples that this life is to be perpetuated as it will be through the power of God. We are aware of the divine command, but we also must know that man wants us to say something also. But Peter, in verse 29, clears it up. We must obey God rather than man. God's demands are our first obedience. That is the teaching of his word. It is also the response of our own conscience. We agree when we consider it that God has a claim of transcendency and immeasurably superior to all others. In our allegiance, it must be to God, that divine one who called us out of darkness into this marvelous light, that power in whom we live and move and have our being, from whom we have received every single blessing. We have known who is the righteous and holy sovereign of all souls throughout the universe of being, and whose absolute will depends on our future destiny. To him we owe our allegiance. To him we owe our everything. That any claims man may have on us are nothing and less than nothing. There are many reasons why we should yield ourselves to his service. The example of the worthiest and the best of our kind, the excellency, dignity, and exaltation of that service, the present and the future advantages we gain thereby, the awful issues of disloyalty and persistent rejection. But there is one thought which should weigh most, and that should be, we ought to obey God rather than man. When we stand for God, human forces will stand in opposition to us and will throw us in jail and will oppose us and will persecute us and will seek to kill us. I am not considering now people in the world. I'm assuring you that there are people in the pews who don't desire us to stand up for truth, to share the love of God and the truth of God. However, the voice comes to us like it did to Peter, we ought to obey God rather than man. We cannot decline to do without violating the plain teaching of our moral judgment if we succumb to these worldly wisers. When we do yield ourselves to God, we put ourselves in the right and have the strong, blessed sanction of our conscience. We should hear the voice of God within saying daily, hourly, and yearly in tones which will not be silent, we ought to obey God rather than man. It reminds me of a poem, my brothers and sisters. When things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you're trudging seems all uphill, when the funds are low and the debts are high, and you want to smile, but you have to sigh. When care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't you quit. Life is queer with its twists and turns, as every one of us sometimes learn. And many a fellow turns about when he might have won had he stuck it out. Don't give up though the pace seems slow. You may succeed with another blow. Often the goal is nearer than it seems to a faint and faltering man. Often the struggler has given up when he might have captured the victor's cup. And he learned too late when the night came down how close he was to the golden crown. Success is failure turned inside out, the silver tint in the clouds of doubt. And you never can tell how close you are. It might be near when it seems afar. So stick to the fight when your heart is hit. It's when things seem worse that you must not quit. Oh, there's going to be opposition. There are people who don't like you. There are people who will throw you in prison. There are people who will lie on you. There are people who will mistreat you. There are people who don't really like God. They look like Christians on the outside, but on the inside of their heart, they're full of evil. In the inside of their heart, there's hatred and jealousy and envy and deceit. Man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. He knows the soul. He knows the issues. He knows the circumstances. Oh, today we must learn how to trust God. We must learn how to believe God. We must learn how to hold on to the mighty hand of God. Oh, today, my Christian friends, when Peter was thrown in prison, Herod thought that he had him. But Herod did not have control of the elements. Herod does not have control of the power of the universe. Oh, today, there are political leaders that think that they are all that. But I want you to know that when you have a connection with God, when you have the power of God at your disposal, no chains can hold you. No prison guards can restrain you. No doors can shut you out. No doors can keep you locked in. There are prison walls and prison doors that oppose us. But as long as God is on our side, as long as we trust in his power, as long as we know that he is the one who is in control of the universe, today it is time to put your trust in God. It is time to hold on to the principles of God. It is time to accept the peace of God. It is time to believe in the word of God. If there are people today who are telling you not to trust in God's word, some will tell you to get rid of the Old Testament. It's no longer valid. Some will tell you to get rid of the New Testament. But the Bible that I believe says all scripture is given by inspiration of God.
If you've enjoyed this message by Pastor Jonathan McCautry, please reach out to us. We would love to hear from you. Call at 318-658-6216. Email us at deliverancetodayministries@gmail.com. Write us at P.O. Box 5452, Bossier City, Louisiana, 71171. This is Ruth Ann Thompson at Deliverance Today Ministries, inviting you to join us and become a faithful pledge supporter so we can reach others through this radio ministry.
Before we leave the air today, I'd like to make a special appeal for those of you who believe in the power of prayer. Please join us on our Zoom prayer line tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock a.m. Central Standard Time. Zoom number 504-535-3921.